You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday to you. I'm Anthony Cazenza with the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast and CincyJungle.com. Hope you are all doing well. Coming at you with the happening headlines for week 13 as the Cincinnati Bengals get set to host the Los Angeles Chargers. Don't call them San Diego Chargers. The Los Angeles Chargers coming to Paul Brown Stadium after the gigantic, gigantic win over the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, 41-10. A lot to get to as it pertains to the Cincinnati Bengals and the headlines that are coming from them in both the aftermath of that win as well as what's ahead against the Chargers, what they're looking at there. And, of course, all kinds of different news. A big and wild week for the AFC North, so all kinds of news within the division and, of course, across the NFL. Again, I'm Anthony Cazenza, and this show, the Orange and Black Insider, is part of the Cincy Jungle podcast channel, podcast network. You can get that channel and subscribe to it on your favorite audio streamer, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, any of the major ones. Go on there, find the Cincy Jungle podcast channel, and that's where you can get this show. You can get Orange is the New Black from Ace and Zim. You can get Chalk Talk and Coach Speak from Coach Matt Minnick. Get all that stuff, subscribe, leave a review. We appreciate that. And if you like the video format of what we do on this particular show, you can go right down here. There's a little, I always get the hands mixed up on which side here because the inverted screen and everything when you record. Right down here, there's a little OBI icon. You can click that to subscribe. Click the bell to be notified when we go live, when new content is available, all of that. Okay. Shameless self-promotion of at least this show aside, we've got a lot to get to. So we'll start rolling it. I'm seeing a lot of hellos from a lot of folks, whether you're joining us on the Cincy Jungle Facebook page, our Orange and Black Insider YouTube channel, on Twitter. Hello, hello, hello. Good to see all of you. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving and enjoyed what we witnessed on Sunday as the Bengals took care of the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. All right, let's get this thing going, if you don't mind. And where do we want to start? Let's start with the snap count takeaways. And this is on CincyJungle.com. I will post this in the live chat for those of you if you want to see what's going on with this here on CincyJungle.com. Let's talk about what we saw in terms of snap counts from the Bengals here. And this is, Jermaine Pratt kind of was a little bit of a story here, you know, with the Akeem Davis Gaither injury, you know, more pressure is being put on Pratt to perform when he is out there. And he responded well, at least this last week here, but here you go. You see Trey Hopkins in there and you'll see kind of a little bit of difference, not only because of some injuries that the Bengals suffered in this game. And we'll talk about that in just a second, but also because the lopsided score forced them to, you know, not force them, but allowed them to be able to get some of these players out of the lineup, get some nice rest, et cetera. By the way, have one thing that nobody, at least I haven't really heard, that nobody seems to be talking about with the, you know, we're all happy about the nice status in terms of lack of injuries, knock on wood, and all of that with the Bengals. I think part of that has to do with the fact that the Bengals have been engaged in a lot of blowouts, mostly on the win side this year. And they are, it's allowing them to be able to get some of these guys out of the lineup, keep them a little more fresh. Obviously, how they've built the roster in terms of rotation and all of that, on the, especially on the defensive line, that is a big reason why as well. But being able to get those guys out of the lineup when a game is well in hand and rest them for almost an entire quarter, sometimes more than that, that is playing a big role in the health of this team. At any rate, here we go. Trey Hopkins, 78% of the snaps. He did get dinged up. It looked like kind of got rolled up on, kind of a scary situation there. Ended up staying in there, got up a little slowly, stayed in there, ended up playing a little longer, but was taken out of the lineup as the game got well in hand in the fourth quarter. Trey Hill stepping in there, did get a penalty, did Hill. But 22% of the snaps, Hill got in there. Hilton playing 94%, and he played very well. Four tackles and the big pick six by Mike Hilton right before halftime. Awuzie, here's what I mean. Awuzie, your number one corner right now, only playing 63% of the snaps because of what the game, where the game went. Trey Flowers getting extensive time, 40% of the snaps. Darius Phillips getting time, struggled a bit at times, had kind of a miscue on a kickoff return where he tried to bring that out, was really indecisive on what he was doing there, and then let up a few plays on defense. So a little bit of a rough one for Darius Phillips, 37% of the snaps there. Eli Apple, same thing with Awuzie, 63%. You see here Hendrickson, only 40% of the snaps. And what did he do? Oh, he had a strip sack and two tackles. So, 40% of the snaps, he's making plays, two quarterback hits. Cam Sample in there for 44%. He played more snaps than Trey Hendrickson did Cam Sample. So Sam Hubbard, 52%, just a tick more than both of those two. But again, you're resting these guys. Wyatt Ray getting in there for 45%. Khalid Kareem, a lot of him late, 29% of the snaps. DJ Reader, only 34% of the snaps. Ogunjobi, 48%. Tupo, 50%. BJ Hill getting a lot of time and being an effective player. BJ Hill, 61%. Just in the mix of a lot of different plays there. Really liked what we saw from him. Logan Wilson, your leading tackler of the day, 63%. Pratt in there, 47%. But see, look at these percentages, particularly on defense. These are guys that are getting out of the lineup quick. And then you had Marcus Bailey getting in there and having 39% as well. Joe Bacci, 37%. In the snap counts there. So, they got some time late. Jackson Carmen got in there late. Quentin Spain, 85%. Adeniji did get all 100% of the snaps, as did Jonah Williams. Reef left the game early and was replaced by Prince. So Prince got a lot of snaps, 31 to be exact, but some of those were in the jumbo formations earlier. And then some of them were actually as the right tackle because Reef left with an ankle injury. We'll talk more about that. Burrow got to sit late. He played 85% of the snaps. Brandon Allen came in. Mixon, 72%. P. Ryan getting work late. Evans getting some work late. So, you look at these, you're starting safeties, 63% a pop in terms of amount of snaps, Bates and Bell. CJ Uzama, 66%. So just a nice dispersal of snaps just based on where the game went and how the Bengals were able to remedy all of that and get through the game and bring in guys at the end for about, almost a full quarter in some scenarios, maybe even more in some scenarios there. So you got to like what you saw there, especially with the result on the scoreboard there. So that gives you a little bit of an indication as to what we were kind of seeing and some of the things that, we kind of expected, I guess, a little bit based on how the game played out afterward, hindsight being what it is. All right. So I talked about this a little bit. Here is the latest injury update via Zach Taylor early this week on a couple of important players. Unfortunately, I should have started with this other one before this, but one such player had a bit of bad luck in Thad Moss, a guy that a lot of Bengals fans were excited to see him get activated. And actually, it sounded like Moss was going to be a bit, a little bit active in the passing attack and what the Bengals were going to try and do on offense, maybe this week and or going forward. But now he has suffered a hamstring injury, could affect his status for the next couple of weeks. He has now been placed back on the practice squad. Mitchell Wilcox is taking his place. And then you've got Reef and Trey Hopkins as well, as I mentioned. Both those guys had a couple of injuries there. So, again, he should be out at least a week. That being Moss, unfortunately, hurt his hamstring in pregame warmups. That is bad luck if I have ever seen it. And we'll talk about something else with Thad Moss in just a second. But Reef, as we mentioned, played in 60% of the snaps. So you can see here, this is from Marissa Contepelli as well. So Evans and Riley Reef are dealing with ankle injuries. Hopkins' injury is minor, not considered to be serious. So, you know, when you look at this, you know, the ankle injuries, those can be tricky, a little bit scary with Riley Reef there. Don't like that. But, you know, and Evans is kind of here and there being an effective weapon for the offense. So, you know, you don't really like that. Sounds like Hopkins is going to be okay. And the good news is Hopkins has been playing better as the year has worn on. So, you know, you're hopeful that he's coming back and being in there pretty quickly. And then Moss, it's the most significant, quote unquote, from Zach Taylor of the group. And if we're talking about maybe a week or two, as Ben Baby of ESPN relayed to us, that's if that's the most significant, then, you know, I mean, against the Steelers, I guess you got to take that. And thankfully, none of these seem to be of the season ending type or anything like that. But we will see. Again, Evans and Reef dealing with ankle injuries. Moss suffered a hamstring injury during warmups. Hopkins nicked up in that game, but ended up coming back after he got rolled up on, it looked like, and then, you know, played a little bit longer and then was taken out shortly after that. So that's a little bit of the injury update as it stands with the Cincinnati Bengals going into week 13 with a couple of guys, some starters, some backups, and, you know, not totally what you like to see this late in the season. But, you know, again, the Bengals have been largely healthy, and this was kind of a cool article. I kind of meant to preface that with this one, but hey, better late than never. Randy Moss cheered on his son on ESPN. There's a clip on Twitter here. You can find that on this article. Pretty cool moment. The picture's pretty sweet here. Thad Moss putting on the coat, the Hall of Fame jacket, on his dad, Randy Moss. And it was a really cool sight. Randy Moss was pretty psyched early in the morning to hear that his son and to know that his son was going to be active for the first time on the Bengals roster. And then, unfortunately, just a little while after that, he injured that hamstring in pregame warmup. So kind of a bummer there, but I mean, really cool thing. Randy Moss was pretty psyched on this. You know, here's, let's see if we can maybe play a little bit for you here. This is from NFL on ESPN, but they said proud dad moment. And number he's they're all cheering for him there. A little background noise for him. So he's pretty psyched up about it. Unfortunately, again, it just didn't work out the way that everybody wanted it to because of the injury. But you know, congrats to the Moss family there. Pretty cool stuff. And I'm sure that Thad Moss is going to get his shot later as he heals up and everything. So not great. Again, not great news in terms of how the day worked out for everybody, but you know, Randy Moss, obviously proud dad moment there. Pretty cool stuff from him. Let's see, where do we want to go next? I know where we want to go next. We talked about Riley Reef being relieved by Isaiah Prince in this game. And if you go to, I think it's this one right here. Yep. This is from PFF Sin Bengals at PFF underscore Bengals on Twitter. The highest graded Bengals in week 12, a minimum of 25 snaps. Mike Hilton, your number one player, with a 92.4 overall grade. Joe Burrow with a 91.9 overall grade. Trey Hendrickson, a 90 grade. T. Higgins, great game from him, getting six catches and over 100 yards and the big touchdown catch in this one. 89.6, he is your fourth highest graded Bengal from PFF metrics. And then Isaiah Prince, your offensive tackle. Now, granted, the snaps were smaller, the sample size was smaller, but hey, 76.6, Isaiah Prince coming in. So my point is while we have to monitor the Reef situation, we don't know from a bulk snap count standpoint with Prince if this is something that, you know, we can hang our hat on for a week, 2 weeks, something like that, if the Bengals need to get by with him on the offensive line. But That's encouraging right there. The 76.6 grade from Isaiah Prince, your fifth highest ranked Bengal by PFF standpoints. So I wanted to share that one with you all as well. And then just an update on how the team itself is doing through 11 games and 12 weeks in the season from Pro Football Focus, because I know we got some data geeks, somewhat like myself, data geeks out there who like these numbers out here. Highest graded Bengals through 11 games and a minimum of 275 snaps. Joe Burrow, your number one guy. When your quarterback's your number one guy from PFF standpoint, you gotta feel like your team's in pretty good shape at that point. Joe Burrow, your quarterback, 86.2. DJ Reader still up there. He's been hovering number one, number two, up there all year. 83.4 grade from DJ Reader. Joe Mixon, your star running back, who you paid a lot of money to, 83.0. T. Higgins, number four, jumping up there at it with a 77 grade. Jamar Chase falling off a bit because of the last 3-4 games, but still a 76.7 grade. He is your number five player there. Again, I say this every time we go over this, but this is near ideal in terms of how the Bengals have constructed their roster, who they want to be identity wise, and where their money has gone, where their draft picks have gone. To have these players be in your top five, I mean, sure, you'd like to see Trey Hendrickson in there, maybe Sam Hubbard, because you just gave him a deal, but those guys are still playing well regardless. And then when you have your number one overall pick and franchise quarterback as your number one player on your team in terms of PFF grade, your big nose tackle you paid huge money to, not this offseason, but last offseason, as your number two player, same offseason, you paid big money to Joe Mixon for an extension that wasn't necessarily super well received among a lot of fans, but he's playing very, very well for this team this year. Best football, I think we can say we've seen from Mixon, and that's saying something because he's always been a good player. T. Higgins, basically a number one pick, your top pick of the second round in the Joe Burrow 2020 class. And then Jamar Chase, your number five overall pick this year. I mean, that's kind of how you want it drawn up, pretty much how you want it drawn up for PFF scores. I mean, there's a couple changes you can make there, but not bad, not bad. Let's keep going here. There was a moment there was more than one moment in this game wherein the Steelers were the Steelers, and not so much on the scoreboard, not so much in in-game performance, but more so in after the whistle stuff, walk the line of cheap shot type of stuff, and other types of situations. And there was one such play on the Joe Burrow interception where TJ Watt, who was pretty frustrated in terms of his lack of contributions in this one. And by the way, if you remember, everybody said how much of an impact that Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt were going to have in their return this week. What did they do? They combined for 7 tackles. No sacks, no quarterback hits, no tackles for loss by any of those guys. So, regardless, TJ Watt, there was a situation where he was getting pretty rough with Joe Burrow after the interception during the return, and he kind of wrestled Burrow to the ground. Quentin Spain came up and, you know, gave him the business afterward. Let's see if we can play this one here. I'm sure you've seen this by now. This is a little bit of a relay.
Let's go to Cincinnati here. We have 37
seconds. This is from Red Zone here. I'll turn that down. But essentially, you see the play just getting real rough with Burrow there. Real rough there. And, not well received in terms of how the Bengals perceived it. However, Joe Burrow didn't seem to mind it that much, or at least didn't verbalize that he didn't mind it so much. So he said, basically, he was just blocking me. I told him, nice block. That is from Jeremy Roush of Fox 19. I don't know that. I think Burrow may be swallowing a couple of those words and feelings that he truly has on the play, but it is what it is. And Burrow kind of took the high road on that. It reminds me, do you remember the play? Oh my gosh, I think it was against the Seahawks. And there was a defensive lineman, and Andy Dalton threw an interception, and he got hit really late, and it was pretty much up by Bennett, one of the Bennett brothers there who was playing for the Seahawks, I believe, at the time. And that, you know, he got a flag and, you know, it kind of caused a big uproar there. This wasn't as physical or as egregious as that, but this, for a lot of different quarterbacks, that would have been flagged. And it was not for the Steelers. And it's the second straight week that their star defensive lineman, two different guys, went after a quarterback with an after the whistle type of hit or a beyond the norm type of play. No fines, no suspensions, and no flags, especially in this instance here. So regardless, it didn't really matter. Burrow remained healthy, and the Bengals beat the Steelers badly on the scoreboard. So Burrow didn't have too much else to say about it, except for I just told him nice block. And that is about that. Speaking of Burrow and aspirations of this club, beating the Steelers, what does that mean, et cetera, et cetera? Well, Burrow has higher expectations than that for this team. And essentially, Joe Burrow, I think it's a pretty profound statement there, because in years past, that this was always kind of the Bengals Super Bowl, right? The beating the Steelers, beating them soundly, was always kind of the Bengals Super Bowl, so to speak. And now, you know, the Bengals have much loftier goals. And I think Joe Burrow, his persona, his confidence, and what this team wants to achieve has so much left to accomplish. So not good. It's good. It's great. Not good enough is basically the message there. And let's roll on to, we've kind of been talking on a blocking theme here. Zach Taylor really likes what he's seeing in terms of the commitment from the Bengals wide receivers in the running game, the blocking game there, helping out in the run. There was a big run, and Brian Baldinger of NFL Network and other outlets had a nice breakdown of it. But essentially, you know, is the big cutback, the big 32-yarder where Mixon bounced it left and then, you know, saw that there was nothing there and took it back around the right side late in the game. And you saw Ja'Marr Chase, you saw Joe Burrow following him too, but you saw Ja'Marr Chase, you know, scurrying up the field, got a nice block to continue. It was on Minkah Fitzpatrick to continue on and let the play continue to develop. And it's those types of plays. We saw Stanley Morgan in the run game a week prior against the Raiders. That was, you know, a really nice play. And these guys just are doing the little things that winning teams achieve and that make you a really well-rounded team. And here's the quote here from Zach Taylor, and this is on cincyjungle.com as well. We want to have the best blocking receivers in the NFL, Taylor said. That's the standard we're trying to set right now, and that's what they're out to get. And they're doing a pretty dang good job making a statement on that for the rest of the league to notice. And then, you know, it said in the article here, Taylor cited numerous blocks from his wide receivers in this game. But, you know, the guys that don't necessarily make the catches, Mike Thomas, Stanley Morgan, et cetera, are helping out in the run game. And then you've got Ja'Marr Chase helping out in the run game. And, oh, by the way, a lot of times you're using jumbo formations and with Isaiah Prince. And so you are just really trying to impose your will as an offense and as a run unit there. They are really trying to impose their will and doing a pretty good job of it, especially coming out of the bye. Especially, I think Joe Mixon has about 300 yards rushing in the last two games. So kudos to them. They made a couple of tweaks in the bye week and it's working. It's working. It's got them two wins. It may not be as fun or as pretty as the bombs away, the deep bombs galore to Ja'Marr Chase, et cetera, but it's effective. It's effective, and it's getting them in the win column. And Joe Mixon is a guy that you want to rely on in the AFC North and through the playoffs for timely runs, physical runs, and helping out in the pass game too. So really, it's just clicking right now. It's clicking. I said it in the post-game show. It's clicking. The Bengals, you can argue, are playing their best football right now when it matters most, the back half of the schedule against quality teams. And you have to like that if you are a Bengals fan. I thought it was an article about Joe Burrow. It was just a tweet that I had, and I think this is maybe from Brandon Seho of the local Cincinnati media. Here it is right here, and we will put this up right here. Brandon Seho, the question from the Cincinnati media was asked, what does beating the Steelers twice this season mean to Joe Burrow? Quote, we're 2-0 against them. We've got higher aspirations than beating the Steelers right now. So, good. It's great, swell, wonderful, great, wonderful, grand, but not what the ultimate goal is. And that confidence that permeates through the entire club for sure. So, apologies. I thought it was a full story. I had just a tweet queued up. At any rate, there you go. That was the quote. Let's continue on with just a couple more Bengals tidbits. Actually, we've got a few more, and then we've got some in the AFC North, and to close it out with the NFL news. Before we do, I want to tell all of you about our partnership with Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L. And the website, simbull.com/OBI. And this is where folks can play the stock market kind of in a football type of way. You can buy shares of stocks in teams and play Symbol like it is the stock market. Make some money on either some long-term investments, short-term investments. If you got in on the ground level with the Bengals investments with this thing when we first started, you probably made yourself quite a bit of money. But you don't have to only bet on the Bengals. You can bet on a number of teams in a few different sports on their platform. And oh, by the way, if you go to symbull.com/OBI and use the promo code OBI, of course, standing for Orange and Black Insider, they have a promo for you wherein they will protect up to $500 of your money in your account, if should you lose it, if you use the promo code OBI and within a 90-day window. That's how confident they are that you will make money, that you will be satisfied with their platform. But you got to go to symbull.com/OBI. You got to use the promo code OBI to take advantage of that $500 money back guarantee in your account within that first 90 days. Should things in the rare chance go not your way, they will protect you on that. Pretty cool stuff, a fun platform and a way for you to make money, potentially even on teams that you're passionate about. So go to symbull.com/OBI, use that promo code OBI and take advantage. We have been partnering with them for the better part of the entire calendar year, really since right before the draft all the way up till now. And again, here, if you invested right then when we had the partnership, you're looking pretty smart at this point. So go check it out. Good stuff from Symbol, and we appreciate the partnership there.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Man, what an addition Trey Hendrickson has been for the Cincinnati Bengals. Good Lord. This is on cincyjungle.com. He now has set the record for the longest sack streak in Bengals history. Just a pillar of consistency on this defense. Even when the defense hasn't been playing well, he has been very, very consistent. Obviously, there was the whole Carl Lawson Trey Hendrickson debate. A lot of people did not like the Trey Hendrickson move. I did, just from the standpoint of you got to find someone who is healthy, consistent, and can consistently get after the passer. I love Carl Lawson too, but at some point it would have been nice to have both these guys really, but at any rate, Hendrickson playing very, very well and had another sack and second consecutive week with a sack fumble. Did Hendrickson force this week, and now he has at least one sack in seven straight games right now came on that forced fumble with Big Ben. So 10.5 on the year for Trey Hendrickson with six games to play. So I don't know that he's going to keep up the continuous, the consecutive game streak. Let's hope he does, because that's obviously a good sign. But I mean, this is a guy well into double-digit sacks, could be chasing down the franchise record held, a single-season franchise record held by Carlos Dunlap. And he is very high up in the Pro Bowl voting. And oh, by the way, his play is, along with DJ Reader's effective play, along with BJ Hill, Larry Ogunjobi, all those guys, they are having a direct impact not only on Hendrickson's play, but also on Sam Hubbard's play. Sam Hubbard's having one of, if not the best season of his professional career as well. So good stuff from the edge defenders, and the Bengals are using them effectively. And Trey Hendrickson now a record holder with the Bengals in terms of consecutive games with a sack. So good stuff there. Good stuff there from Trey Hendrickson, and a great addition by the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to transition now into week 13 as it pertains to the Bengals and some of the news notes, etc. This is kind of a nice bridge article here from CBS Sports, and Brian Diardo posted earlier on Tuesday. Bengals are back. Five reasons Cincinnati is in the hunt for the first playoff berth since 2015. I will put that link in the live chat. There are five reasons. I won't go through all of them because I want you to go read these yourself. However, I will give you a couple here. There's some nice quotes from Mike Brown and, going all the way back. But really, really nice article. This is an interesting one right here. The tough departures, obviously pointing to Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, AJ Green, Andy Dalton, all of those. The guys that were so integral in the five straight postseason bursts from 2011 through 2015, age, injuries, disgruntled nature in their role, and just the transition that often comes with a management change. They required some tough decisions from some of these guys. And when you're not winning, those are the things that start to become criticized very heavily. And now here we go, all of a sudden, Bengals are 7-4. Things are looking great. Taylor, Anarumo, Callahan, Mike Brown, the Blackburns, all looking, Duke Tobin, they all look like geniuses now. But, last year it was pretty easy to criticize what the Bengals were doing in this regard. Key acquisitions, another, I mentioned all these guys so far on this episode alone here. Reader, Ogunjobi, Hendrickson, Eli Apple, Awuzie, Von Bell, all these guys. So go check out this article. It's a long one, but a really good one on CBS Sports, and I think that you will enjoy it. So that link again is in the live chats. If you're not watching this live, you can go back into the Cincy Jungle Facebook page or the YouTube channel comments at the live chat comments, and you can find the article there. Good stuff from CBS Sports. The Bengals are, because of their win, because they're at home, they are opening as favorites against the Chargers. Now the Chargers are coming off of a couple of wild weeks. They had a big lead against the Steelers, let it go, and ended up hanging on and beating them on Sunday Night Football the week prior. This week, they had a late game against the Denver Broncos in Denver, lost that one by quite a bit, by two possessions. And so now the Bengals are a three-point favorite, essentially making this a coin toss in terms of if this game was on a neutral field type of thing. This would be a coin flip, maybe pick 'em type of scenario. But because it's in Cincinnati, usually that 2 to 3 point favorite range is because of the home field advantage. And so that is where the Bengals currently sit here with a 3-point advantage right now. This could change based on injuries with the Bengals that we talked about earlier. If those linger on and affect this game, this could change the line. So go with that news as you will. But again, exciting game, and one that I think a lot of people thought would have or should have been flexed into the late Sunday night slate because of the whole Joe Burrow versus Justin Herbert factor. You kind of figured that that would have been something that a lot of folks would have eaten up, but not the case. The NFL decided otherwise there. So it will not be Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, and or Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth calling this one. Thanks to Jay Morrison relaying this information. The CBS broadcast crew is one of top groups there. It's Ian Eagle, not Ian, Ian, who is the play-by-play guy. Charles Davis, who has been an NFL Network staple, was with Fox and now moved over to CBS. One of the better analysts out there as well. And then Evan Washburn, the sideline reporter there. So CBS broadcast crew, and thanks to Jay Morrison of The Athletic for relaying that on Twitter. One of the top crews of CBS coming in there and doing the coverage for this game. The NFL did flex the Bengals a little bit. They flexed this one to, CBS. I guess this was they did that one. But then 49ers Bengals in week 14 has also been switched around a little bit. Here is. They did a couple of changes, as they do at this point in the year. They kind of gauge where teams are, where the divisions are. The NFL flexed the 49ers Bengals in week 14 to the late start on December 12th. So that will now be 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff on CBS. And then also on Fox, the Packers-Ravens game has been pushed to 4:25 p.m. Eastern as well. This is on NFL.com. But so this is kind of NFL news, but also overall NFL news, but also Bengals news as their Week 14 game against the 49ers gets flexed to the 4:25 p.m. kickoff. So take note, Bengals fans, take note. That came out a little bit earlier there. So here is a little bit of transition into AFC North news. And of course, I guess this could potentially affect the Bengals. I don't know. We have to wait and see. But TJ Watt was placed on the COVID-19 list following the loss to the Bengals. Obviously going up against Bengals defenders, the close contact with Joe Burrow there that he had, we're going to need to monitor how this works with the team, but the Steelers placed TJ Watt on the COVID-19 list there, and he did not have too much of an impact other than that scuffle there at the end with Joe Burrow after the interception. Not much of an impact from Watt there in this game. So at any rate, he is on the COVID-19 list affecting the Steelers, obviously, but you also need to, we probably need to keep an eye on things with the Bengals there, as there was some close contact with TJ Watt on Sunday. So hopefully that does not trickle down and affect Bengals players there, but something to keep note of for sure. The wheels appear to be coming off for the Pittsburgh Steelers here. There was a comment earlier this week about some reporter had asked Chase Claypool, the wide receiver, about, what could be different, what needs to change, what are some of these things that need to happen. Claypool made some comment about, we used to have music at practice. It used to kind of liven things up and bring kind of a fun air to practice, and maybe that's something we could bring back. Something to that effect was the comment. Apparently, a day later, Mike Tomlin was asked about that opinion from his second-year wide receiver, and this is from Brooke Pryor on Twitter. I will share this here. Mike Tomlin, on Chase Claypool's suggestion they should play music and make practice more fun, quote, "Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is appropriate." If I don't have the audio clip for this, but if you, I can so picture Mike Tomlin saying this, particularly those final words. You know, very intelligent guy and very he doesn't mince words. I think that division of labor is appropriate. That is a very Mike Tomlin-esque quote, and it also kind of shows, oh boy, maybe a little erosion in the foundation of the team. I don't know. Definitely not a good sign that there's a little bit of, I don't know if bickering is the right word, public bickering, but I don't know. Take that for what you will. I guess you got to like it from the Bengals side of the fence. If you're a Steelers fan, probably not so much. But that was a very, very interesting quote from Mike Tomlin in response to Claypool's comment about what the Steelers could do to liven up practice. We've got a lot of live listeners from a variety of different platforms. Happy to have you all with us. We'll be going through just a few more articles here and headlines as it pertains to the NFL. We already went through quite a few of the Bengals. We're starting into the AFC North and moving through that. A couple from the NFL, and then we will hop on out of here. Again, I'm Anthony Cazenza with CincyJungle.com and the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast. We do have our standard show tomorrow night, our deep dive analysis show with myself and John Sheeran. We're going to do some listener questions live on Friday as well. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. And then, of course, we've got all kinds of different stuff on the podcast channel from the variety of shows. So check it out on your favorite audio streamer or the respective YouTube channels. Appreciate the support. Good to see so many of you coming midweek and hanging out with me, talking about the headlines, at least for the live shows. Hey, thanks for listening after the fact too. If you can't join us live, please try to, but if you can't, it's cool. Appreciate you tuning in after the fact and checking out our show and the other shows on the podcast channel. So at any rate, let's continue on with the AFC North. Baltimore Ravens, Patrick Queen is dealing with a rib injury, not expected to linger, and this is from Ryan Mink on BaltimoreRavens.com. I will pin this in the live chats for you all as well. His rib injury is not expected to linger. Queen, if you remember, well, it says here he was in a lot of pain in the third quarter trying to tackle Cleveland Browns tight end David Njoku in the last game here. If you remember, Queen was a guy who was tasked with a lot these first two seasons, being kind of their middle linebacker and calling the plays, lining people up. And he had a lot of struggles. He had a lot of struggles doing so. So what the Ravens decided to do is move him to, I believe, the weak side. And they now have Josh Bynes, former Raven and former Bengal. He returned to the Ravens this year, and now he was on the practice squad at one point. He is now manning the middle, and it has lightened the load for Patrick Queen, and he has been playing better since that move. However, he is dealing with a rib injury here, and shouldn't be a serious one, but, you know, you're tackling as a linebacker. That can't be comfortable. So we'll see how that ends up going here. I already said the other piece of news here that I had for the Ravens was that Packers Ravens game in week 15, moving from 1 Eastern to 4:25 Eastern. So that was the other piece of news with the Baltimore Ravens, at least pretty pertinent here early in the week. Let's go to the Cleveland Browns, man. They just, they can't figure it out from one week to the next. It would seem they can be impressive, and they can be very unimpressive. Unfortunately, they are now going to be losing all-pro tackle Jack Conklin for the season. He had already been out a couple of games. I believe he missed the Bengals game. And then he suffered a ruptured patellar tendon in the loss to the Ravens. So, you know, he's a really, really good player. Just had an injury plague season this year. So, you know, not a great situation for the Browns and their offensive line. But Blake Hance, by the way, is going to fill in for Conklin. But look, the Browns were able to still win some games without Conklin in the lineup. So and now the Browns are on a bye, so they're going to figure things out there from, you know, from a roster standpoint and starting standpoint and all that kind of stuff. But not a good situation from them. They still have a number of really good offensive linemen on that line, though, so I'm sure they will figure it out. Not a good situation for them, though. And on top of that, on the good news front for the Browns, Myles Garrett does tie the Browns' single season sack record in the loss to the Ravens. Guy is a freak, just continues to wreak havoc in the NFL and is a really, really good player. And this is from Anthony Poizel on clevelandbrowns.com. I will pin that in there. Just a guy that plays really hard and you know, he tied the record. There is 14 sacks, as you see there from Reggie Camp. So good for him, good player. And you know, the Browns value him for sure. He is a very, very good player, ties the franchise record with a number of games to go. So we'll see what happens in terms of where that number ends up for Myles Garrett. Now, the Bengals are taking on the Chargers. They are hosting the Chargers this week. And as I mentioned, the Chargers are having trouble with consistency. They played, they had the big lead against Pittsburgh, let them come back, ended up winning that game. They go to Denver the following week and do not play well. Herbert turned the ball over a couple times, and now they are trying to figure things out. I mean, they were playing very well to start the season. Then they kind of hit a buzzsaw in Baltimore. The week after, the Bengals throttle Baltimore in Baltimore. So it's just, it's kind of the story of the AFC, story of the AFC North, just teams kind of playing well one week, not so well the other week, or for a couple of weeks they play well, and then they have a major speed bump. So this is on Chargers.com from Corey Kennedy, and this is basically, there are three takeaways here from a couple of days ago. They need to play consistent football. Consistency is key, is one of them. And then Austin Eckler with a quote, if you're not consistent, I talk about it all day, every interview, if you're not consistent with your play, you're going to get beat. I feel like that's pretty much what happened with us today. They outplayed us today, meaning the Broncos. They played more consistent and stopped us and made more plays on offense than we did, end quote. So, you know, that's one, what's the mindset moving forward? Quote from Justin Herbert, I think it's the NFL, and I think we're playing against a really good defense. The Denver Broncos are really well coached, and they've got some really good guys on that side of the ball. It wasn't good enough by us today, and we need to readdress. After we watch the film tomorrow, you know you need to be better, and you need to learn from it. So I will leave this link in here, but the Chargers are trying to figure out a formula for consistency. Obviously, they've got a lot of talented players, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, you know, just a lot of good players. Their wideouts are really talented, and you know, they just aren't really consistent from one week to the next. And the Bengals gotta hope that they get them on another down week. But this should be a fun game to watch by most standards. And unfortunately, this game brings about some memories for Bengals fans in terms of what happened in week one last year when Burrow, in his first career start, drove the Bengals down for, you know, that drive at the end of the game, bad offensive pass interference penalty against AJ Green, and then Randy Bullock misses the kick and hurts his calves, I guess, in that one, to have the Bengals get a really, really bad loss at home to start their season. So the Bengals want to exact some revenge, I am sure, on this one. So at any rate, that is kind of what's going on with the Chargers this week as they are getting set to travel to Cincinnati. Some interesting stuff going on just around the rest of the league here. I thought this was a crazy tweet. This is from NFL on CBS, just based on trades and how bad these teams are at this point in time. The teams in the Northeast here, look at picks 4 through 9 slated in the current 22 NFL draft order. Pick 4, the Jets from the trade with Jamal Adams. Pick 5, the Jets, their own pick. Pick 6, the Giants, their own pick. Pick 7, the Giants from a trade with the Bears. Pick 8, the Eagles, their own pick. Pick 9, the Eagles from the Dolphins. So right now, and based on what we've seen from these teams and where things may end up, this slating could be something we see as we go into draft weekend next week, next year, where it's Jets, Jets, Giants, Giants, Eagles, Eagles. I mean, there could be some formation of that. And right now, how it's currently slated, it's pretty crazy. I just thought that was kind of gave me a little chuckle and is kind of interesting right there. And those teams, undoubtedly, there could be some moves from those teams to try and maneuver to potentially get a quarterback. We don't know what Daniel Jones's future is going to be in New York and that sort of thing. So they could try and maneuver and get a quarterback, one of those teams, or a team like the Broncos who are trying to load up and loaded up some picks in the Von Miller trade, could be trying to move up with one of those teams to get a quarterback as well. So, you know, it's just kind of funny how it worked out here. This is some more from CBS Sports. Thank the Lord, we're not talking about this with the Bengals and Zach Taylor. The NFL coach hot seat rankings. David Culley can't gain traction, and Matt Rhule is stumbling. Apparently, Matt Rhule is one that a lot of people are thinking may not make it after this season. Interesting article here. You know, this is from Patrick Walker. So it kind of talks about where these teams have been. The seat's cooling down on Brian Flores and Vic Fangio. Fangio's getting a couple of nice wins here with the Denver Broncos and may get another shot to get a quarterback next year. He's also got a game, you know, I mean, they could still win some games here and be in the mix late, especially if they end up getting one from the Bengals in Denver a few weeks down the road, all kinds of different things. So, you know, something to think about, but a really kind of, I don't know if it's not fun to talk about different coaches or people losing their job, but hey, I mean, it is what it is. Yes. Thank you, Russ ENT. Appreciate that. Yes. We have Super Chat. I never really knew much about it. I don't want to say I didn't dig it, but I didn't know if people liked it or not. But it's there if you want it on our YouTube channel. And we will, I feel like we will use the Super Chat quite a bit on listener questions live. That's where I think we will use those quite a bit, just to make sure, because we want to get to as many questions on those as possible. So maybe that's where we kind of use those a little bit more. Thought we'd have it there in case people want to use it. And appreciate that, Rush. You're the man. And you're always tuning into our stuff. I appreciate it, man. Hey, let's end it up on a high note with the power rankings. And on NFL.com, I believe the Bengals were all the way up to 7, not as high on CBS Sports, but still climbing. Pete Prisco, a guy who is usually pretty nice to the Bengals, as it would seem. He's got the week 13 power rankings. The Bengals have climbed up, I think, in his poll by 3, but here is who he has. He still has the Cardinals as the number one team in the league off their bye week, 9-2. The Packers 9-3, moving up a spot to the number two spot. The Buccaneers getting that win against Indianapolis, 8-3. The Patriots are 8-4. Don't look now. The Patriots and Mac Jones, 8-4 in the number four spot in their power rankings, moving up 3 spots. The Chiefs off their bye week, they are 7-4. They move up 3 spots. The Bills moving up 5 spots because of their win against the Saints on Thanksgiving. So they are at number 6. The Rams are at number 7, taking a tumble at 5 spots down. The Ravens moving down 2 spots, even though they beat the Browns. So they are 8-3. The Titans falling 5 spots at 8-4. Just a lot of injuries going on with the Titans. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry. I mean, just a lot of injuries for them on offense. So, you know, but they are 8-4 and in a pretty weak division overall. The Bengals there rounding out your top 10, moving up 3 spots as at 7-4 with their win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's see where some of the other teams, the Chargers, who they play this week. Inside the top half of the league, falling 6 spots to the number 15 spot on Pete Prisco's list. The Browns at 6-6 fall 4 spots at number 19. And my, how the, am I, where am I, where am I seeing my, did I miss the Steelers? Oh, there they are, number 17. I was like, wow, did they fall that far? Number 17, the Steelers fall 3 spots at 5-5-1. They are still ahead of the Browns. So that is some of Pete Prisco's power rankings there. And then we've got another. Hey, Stuart, you're the man. Thank you for the super chat there. You're always in here as well. I appreciate that, Stuart, in the live YouTube chat. A lot of others in here. So many familiar names. Appreciate that. I hesitated again doing the super chats because I don't like to people to feel pressured or obligated or whatever. But if you want to do that, and I think we'll try it out, especially with listener questions live and stuff, maybe the post game show too. If you feel so inclined, check it out and appreciate everybody's support of this program, everybody's support of the Cincy Jungle podcast channel. Getting to be that time of the day here on the West Coast where I am getting that nice sun ray in half my face, not half my face. I disappear. There's some shadows, all that kind of stuff. It's that time of the afternoon when that happens there in my house. At any rate, thank you everybody for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the Week 13 Happening Headlines. We've got a lot more coming to you on the Orange and Black Insider and the Cincy Jungle podcast channel. Subscribe to that channel on your favorite audio streamer. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you like the Cincy Jungle Facebook page. And of course, keep it to cincyjungle.com for all your news, opinions, analysis, all kinds of different stuff. And of course, your podcasts. Appreciate it, everybody. Have a good rest of the week. We'll see you tomorrow, and we'll see you Friday for a couple more shows on OBI. Take it easy.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.